my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. High King of heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Hey, amen. Thank you for that. What a great song, and it's an old song, but it's so powerful. Let's take the Word of God tonight. We will go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and may the Lord help us and speak to us in a special way through His Word. Tonight I want to preach to you on this message. The Lord give thee understanding. Do you know that in our Christian lives it is so important to have biblical understanding? To understand biblically, for instance, to understand the world biblically, to understand life biblically. But here we're going to see where Paul is instructing Timothy that the Lord would give thee understanding. Now, I do know this. I know that the Bible tells us in Psalm 147, verse 5, it says, "Great is our Lord and of great power." And I love this phrase, "His understanding is infinite." Isn't that amazing and wonderful and comforting? God understands you and me infinitely, meaning there is no limit to His understanding. But my understanding is limited, and your understanding is limited. All of us, have you ever began to do something that you've never done before, and once you get into it, you realize you had no way of understanding how much was involved? Would you raise your hand, hold it up high? All right. Okay, great. My thing is church renovations right now, right? Okay. So there's things that we all encounter through life. In the rest of your life, you will encounter things that you just don't quite understand because you've never encountered it before. Well, the Bible says that God can give us understanding. I need biblical understanding to understand the ways of God in the events of my life and your life. That's understanding. How is God at work? 2 Timothy chapter 2, we begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, when I read that passage of Scripture, I want to stop and say, what understanding? What are we to understand? Well, I believe the first six verses, the Apostle Paul is instructing a young man in the faith, Timothy, his son in the faith. Remember last week we talked about a little bit how that, or last Wednesday, how that God can even use, remember Paul and Barnabas, how that the contention was so sharp that they departed asunder. Well, God led Paul and Silas to Timothy. And now Timothy is this young man that Paul is instructing. And he says, Timothy, I want you to have biblical understanding. In fact, have you ever thought before about certain things in society? Is it not amazing that the things that we eat or do today, years ago, would have killed you? Have you ever thought about that before? And or vice versa, you know, the things that we do eat now, you know, years ago that was okay, and now that's not okay, you know. And I mean, just think simply. I mean, years ago I heard that it was not good to drink milk, you know. Now it is good to drink milk, and all these different things. Let me give you some specific ones. For instance, back around the 19th century, this lasted for 2,000 years. There was a medical process called bloodletting. Now, think about that just for a moment. The idea was that if you were sick and, I mean, just couldn't get better, you'd go to the doctor and the doctor would drain some blood from your body. And somehow that would somehow help you. In fact, did you know that George Washington, they thought he had a throat infection, really, but the doctors did bloodletting on him. They drained 1.7 liters off of his body. That's 4 pounds of blood. Now, you know what? If they had simply read the Bible, you know what the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11? It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. The Bible clearly tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood, but they did not understand. We understand today that that red stuff inside of you needs to stay inside of you, all right? It's very important. And in fact, if you lose some of it, they may have to give you some of it. But years ago, they bloodlet to try to heal your body. They did not understand. In fact, years ago, people used to think the world was flat. We all know that. But you know what the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 22? The Bible says, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Is that not amazing that in God's word we find true understanding of not just spiritual, but also physical matters? Folks, may God help us. I understand that those illustrations that I gave you were things that we look back and think, wow, how could anybody believe that? But it is more important for you and I to have a biblical understanding of what the Christian life is all about. So let's look at these first six verses. The Lord give thee understanding. Number one, the Lord give thee understanding that our strength is only found in Christ. Look back in verse number one. Here he's speaking here, and he's speaking to Timothy, and he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Brethren, tonight, do you understand that you cannot be strong in and of yourself? Do you understand that you cannot withstand sin of your own? There is a grace that is found in Christ Jesus. And we all need that grace day by day. You know something, parents? You need grace to raise your children. You need grace to work your job this week. You need grace with dealing with every situation in life. What about dealing with health conditions? You need grace. What about dealing with certain family issues and problems? You need grace. You need God's grace. And our strength for life and our strength for joy and our strength for continuing the journey that God has placed us on is found in Jesus Christ. Paul told Timothy, my son, be strong in that grace that is in Christ Jesus. James chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, but he giveth more, do you know the next word? Grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Now, here's the ideal. Folks, if we do not have His grace, His supernatural spiritual strength to live the Christian life and to have the joy in our Christian life, it is often because we are proud and we do not draw nigh to the Lord. You see, one must come before the Lord in humility, recognizing His need and recognizing that he needs strength that's found in Christ Jesus. Look, I pray that daily you come to God in prayer. Daily you come before Him in the Word of God. And can I tell you what you'll find? You'll find grace. In fact, God's grace is often sufficient for every trial. Would you take your Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12? You're there in 2 Timothy. Just go back, if you would, probably 20, 30 pages, and you'll come to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. We need grace. Do you know, someone once said that grace is God enabling me to do what I can never do in the flesh. That's grace. That's withstanding trials. That is bearing the burdens. How? Grace. The grace of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Strength. Notice what the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7. It says, Paul is speaking here. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, God spoke to Paul, and he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God told Paul, Paul, I'm going to tell you, what you don't need is for me to relieve you of this thorn in the flesh. Now, many commentators believe that the thorn in Paul's flesh was his eyesight. I don't know that. I do believe that that is probably the case. Because at one point, Paul talked about the church, and he talked about that one church in particular was even willing, if they could have, to pluck their eyes out. I think Paul struggled with his eyesight. Can you imagine a preacher, an evangelist, a missionary with bad eyesight? And yet, he prayed. Now, God could have healed Paul. God could have delivered him from this. But God said, no, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Folks, do you understand that what we need, our strength is found in the grace of Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what I want. I want deliverance. But what the Lord wants to do is to give you His grace. So often what we want is not to be a part of that trial. But what the Lord wants is for us to understand that our strength is found in His grace. In fact, Hebrews 4:16, let me read this verse to you. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of, what's the next word? Grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. In the presence of the Lord, you will find grace and our strength. You say, Pastor, what strength for? For everything. Strength to deal with difficult situations. Strength to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Strength for everything, whatever it may be in your life. You need strength where that is found by the presence of Jesus Christ. Our strength is only found in Christ. Hudson Taylor said this. He said, it is not by trying to be faithful, but in looking to the faithful one that we have or win the victory. That's what it is. Folks, that's the grace. Look, grace is not something that we can try to get of our own. It is found in His presence. Looking to Jesus Christ, He gives us grace. Look, I'll tell you this. There are times in life where I get to the place to where, you know what? I can't go on. And when I come before Him in His presence, can I tell you what He does? He gives me grace. His strength. And our strength is found only in Jesus Christ. The Lord give the understanding that our strength is found in Christ. Number two, I want you to notice this. If you go back to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, notice this. The Lord give the understanding that our strength is found in Christ. But number two, the Lord give the understanding that we are stewards of the truth of God's word. Did you know that every one of you tonight, you're a steward? Now, as a pastor, the Bible calls me a steward. That means I'm accountable to God. Do you know that for the work of the ministry here, God has called me an overseer? I'm to oversee the work. That doesn't mean a pastor is to be a dictator, not any stretch of the imagination. But it means that he is a steward. That means that what God has blessed me with, the privilege to preach, the privilege to pastor a church, is a gift from him. I am to steward that. I am to take care of that. I am not to misuse that privilege that God has given me. But do you know that every one of you is a steward? Look what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We read on here, and the Bible says in verse number 2, it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You know what Paul is telling Timothy? He is warning Timothy. He is saying, Timothy, do not waste the enormous investment that I've had upon your life. Timothy, I have invested in you. I have taught you. I have mentored you. I have shared things with you. Timothy, don't waste it like Demas wasted it. In fact, Demas, the Bible says, Paul spoke of him, that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas forsook Paul. I believe that Paul invested in Demas, but he was not a steward of the truth of God's word. Do you know that every one of us, we are stewards. We have valuable information. You know what information you have? And that is that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. How are you stewarding that responsibility? This past week on Thursday, I had the privilege to be able to do the funeral service for Brad Sanborn's dad, Bill Sanborn. He knew the Lord. He had a clear testimony of his faith in Christ. And the family asked me, they said, "Pastor, we are assuming that you're going to give the gospel." And I said, "Absolutely." And I said, "Look, it is too much of an opportunity to come and stand before people, many of them that I will never see again the rest of my life, and not give the gospel to them." You know what? I feel almost, when I stand there in front of these people that know, I'm sure many of them are lost without Christ, that I have a responsibility before God. That if I don't give them the truth of God's word, I believe in my heart that I'm sinning against the stewardship that God has given to me. Folks, God has invested you with certain things. He has taught you certain things. And people have given you certain things. How are you stewarding the truth of God's word? By the way, one day the books in heaven are going to be opened. And I believe that we will be held accountable for what we have done with our gifts, our God-given gifts, our God-given opportunities, and our God-given responsibilities. We are stewards of the spiritual treasure that God has given to us. And it is our responsibility to guard that deposit of investment that God has made in our lives and to invest that in the lives of other people. Folks, who are you trying to influence for the cause of Jesus Christ? Who are you trying to invest in? You know something? Do you know, as I stand before you tonight, I'm a steward of what my mom and dad taught me, and they invested in my life. But I'm a steward of a basketball coach, and I'm a steward of people, a history, an English teacher. I know that sounds surprising to you, but they did invest in me. All right? Maybe I didn't get all the English, but I did get this spiritual influence, all right? And that's better by God's grace, right? I'm joking, all right? But I'm a steward of that. My pastor, Pastor Sexton, invested in my life. I'm not to just to hold on to that and not share that with other people. Look at the analogy of this. What if you were Maybe let's take some place where people were dying of thirst. They were thirsty. And you had water. But instead of sharing the water with people that are dying and in need of water, you keep it to yourself. No, I'm sorry. This is mine. I'm not going to give it. You know what we would say? How selfish, how terrible that is. But how selfish it is for us to know the gospel, to know the truth of God's word, and not steward that to other people. Do you know what Paul was telling Timothy? He was saying, the things that I gave you, I've given them to you. I've committed them to you. Now you are to take those same things and find other faithful men and teach them the truth of God's word. And those faithful men were to go out and find other faithful men. That's God's way of getting His word around to each generation. In fact, would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, because I must show you this passage because I think it is so important. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, and look in verse number 1. Folks, all of us tonight, no matter how old or young you are, you have a great responsibility. That which we have received is not for ourselves alone. You know, my wife and I joke, and I'm sure all parents here understand this, but you know, when oftentimes, and if my wife gets a certain cereal, you know, how many men like a certain cereal? Would you raise your hand? All right. That's pretty sacred territory right there, you know? And there's times I've said, honey, put that in another part of the cabinet, because we have urchins that live in our home, all right? Maybe minions, whatever they may be. But it's like, honey, you bought this cereal yesterday and it is gone today, you know? I mean, I think they ate the whole thing for breakfast, you know? And it's like, are you kidding me, you know? But the truth is, you know how my kids look at that? Well, what you have is ours too, you know? And but the truth is that there is an analogy there that in a sense, what my wife goes to the grocery store and purchases is just not for us ourselves. It's for the whole family. It's for all of us. It is for us to share. But brethren, what God has entrusted you with is not for you just to keep for yourself. It is to steward that. 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I wonder tonight, would you say, I am faithful to steward the mysteries of God? I am faithful to share that with other people. I am faithful to invest my life. Look, you know what? All the older folks here, it's not just for you to come to church and just to sit. Can I just say, share this with you? You are to come to receive God's word, but so you can invest in the lives of other people. Look, we need what you have. We need to learn what you have to give. Listen, no one should be just an empty vessel. And by the way, let's think about a stagnant pond. Water comes in, but nothing goes out. It's stagnant. It's dead. And I'm afraid that many Christians look like a stagnant pond. They're not giving out. In fact, do you know something? What God speaks to your heart about in your devotions, you ought to give it out to other people. You ought to share it with other people. What God speaks to your heart about in church, let me encourage you to share it with your coworkers and share it with others. Hey, let me share what God spoke to my heart about in church this past Sunday. You know what that would do for folks? That's stewarding the mysteries of God. What has God taught you through His Word? You're to share with others. God, give us understanding that our strength is found in Christ, that we are to be stewards of the truth of God's Word. And number 3, the Lord give the understanding that we are striving for the goal. Now, go back, if you would please, to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and we will stay right here the rest of the evening. We're striving for a goal. For a goal. I don't know if you have ever ran cross country or track before, but there's a goal. It's the finish line to get there, to be the first one there. If you play basketball, there's a goal. There's a basketball goal. You're to get the basket in the goal. That's kind of the whole idea of the game. If you play soccer, there is a soccer goal. It is to get the ball in the goal. The football, all right? God rest the Buckeyes, all right? Anyway, we can't watch them right now. Y'all having withdrawals from that? Anybody having withdrawals? Would you raise your hand? All right. Well, we'll see what happens, you know. But anyway, football, there's a goal, the end zone. There is a purpose for what they're doing. Well, let me ask you something. Do you have a purpose for your Christian life? Are we just kind of coming to church and going home and coming to church and going home? Is there a goal? You say, well, Pastor, what is the goal? Can I tell you what the goal is? The goal is always Jesus Christ. The goal is not me becoming greater. The goal is knowing Jesus. That's why Paul said in Philippians 3:10, he said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Paul said the goal is Jesus. The goal is knowing Christ. The goal is glorifying Christ. That's the goal. And we must strive for the goal. The goal is Christ. It is not obtaining salvation as trying to work for our salvation, but the goal is always Jesus. Now, the Bible gives us illustrations. He gives us three different people to help us to see that we're striving for a goal, all right? He gives us three individuals, the soldier, He gives us the athlete, and the farmer. Now, notice this, 2 Timothy chapter 2, look what it says in verse number 3. Thou therefore, all right, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, folks, the Christian life, you are to be a soldier. You know what? Sometimes I think we forget that. I honestly believe that we don't understand that we are soldiers. Not that we are to be soldiers. We are soldiers. Do you know that you are in a warfare day by day? I sometimes think I forget that. I forget that I'm in a spiritual warfare and I am to act like a soldier because I am a soldier. When you got saved, you enlisted in God's army, whether you knew it or not. And you are a soldier in the army. And the Bible says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The family we took out to eat this morning, a young man is in the military and working at Wright Pat Air Force Base right now. But he's done active duty in many tours in Afghanistan and all of that. And you know, I talked to him about that. Guess what? It's not easy being a soldier. Do you know what is a soldier? You know what you expect? You expect to have tough days. You expect things to be difficult at times. You have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In fact, when Paul wrote this, the Roman soldiers of Paul's days were the toughest, most disciplined, and the most efficient soldiers in the world. And that's what Paul is referencing. In fact, folks, can I tell you, the word here for soldier is a man on active duty. He's active. He's not on furlough. He's active. He is in warfare. And folks, if you don't know it, there is a war on right now. It's a spiritual warfare. And folks, listen, a soldier, you know what he has to endure? He has to endure long hours of drilling and long route marches and constant pressure, tasteless food, inclement weather, and countless hours of labor. But you know what? The soldier doesn't think anything different. He expects it. But I think sometimes we forget, we don't understand that as a soldier in the Lord's army, we must understand that we have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In fact, the word here, endure hardness, can I tell you what that word means? It means to suffer evil, to suffer trouble, and to endure affliction. That's what Paul is saying. Timothy, I want you to know something, son. you're going to be in the Lord's work. And we're all in the Lord's work. Whether you say, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a missionary, but you are stewards. And being a steward, we must understand that we're striving, all of us, for a goal. Listen, my goal is not different than your goal. Our goal is the same. It is Jesus Christ. It is loving Him and knowing Him and pleasing our Savior. That's our goal. Our goal is Jesus. And brethren, if you are going to have your goal as Christ, you must understand you're a soldier. And you will endure hardness. The Bible goes on to talk about in verse number 4. It says, no man that warreth, a man that is a soldier, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know something? When a man joins military service, he has to surrender many of his rights and freedoms of his civilian life. I mean, he has to surrender all of them. In fact, you know something? He will be given different clothes. His civilian clothes will be shipped back home. He does not come and go as he please. He has to keep himself from anything that would interfere with him being a soldier that is ready for warfare. But we are the same. The Lord give the understanding. Folks, that's why when you are missing the house of the Lord, you are not being prepared for active duty. You're in warfare. When we are missing our time alone with God daily, can I tell you something? We're not ready for the warfare. We're soldiers. The Lord give the understanding. And folks, anything that interferes with a soldier being the best that he can be is not, that is not given. That is something that he must be willing to sacrifice anything so that he can be the best that he can be in the army. By the way, this word please here, the Bible says that he may please him, who had chosen him to be a soldier. The word please is the same word that was described on how Enoch pleased God. I love that. You are called to be a soldier. But the second illustration is an athlete. All right? Now, you know what's funny about being an athlete? The older I get, the better athlete I am. Yeah, at least I think I was, you know? What's funny is, for years, Caleb and I, my son, we'd play one-on-one basketball at our house, you know? And he knows this, and I'm being honest, and he knows this to be true. Years ago, you know, sometimes I'd let him win one-on-one, you know? Kind of take it easy on him. I mean, he was much, much younger than me and still growing and developing, you know, and all of that. So, well, then, you know, later on after that, then it became where I was having to really work hard to beat him. And then I would say, you know, tell you what, son, you let a 40-something-year-old man beat you. I just can't believe that, you know. Well, now he can beat me pretty easily, all right? I'm just going to be honest, all right? Let's tell the truth, you know? But now, you know what I use? Yeah, that's fine. A 40-something-year-old man. You can beat a 40-something-year-old man. Big deal, you know? Big deal about that, you know? It's funny how we change, isn't it, you know? But you know, the truth is, an athlete. Let's think about that just for a minute. Now, Paul had in mind the public game when he was speaking about an athlete. Look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5. It was, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now, Paul is talking about the big Roman events that they would have during that day. Let me give you an illustration of something similar. It would be like the Olympics of today. That's what Paul was referencing. Now, you know something? Today, for someone to compete in the Olympics, do you know that they go into training literally, I mean, years before the Olympics take place. Years before it ever happens. Before that Olympic event, they are training. They have disciplined their body. There are certain things they will not eat, certain places they will not go. They're dedicated to training for hours on end for one goal, and that is to be crowned. But Paul says something here. He says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now, the soldier, we need to understand that we need to expect to endure hardness. Expect it. It's a part of being a soldier. But also as an athlete, can I say this to you? We must understand that in order to reach the goal, and that is Christ, we must abide by the rules. You know, I remember, with teenagers for years, we would have contests and things like that. Well, sometimes teenagers would cheat, all right? Is that surprising that teenagers cheat at times, you know? I remember one time, and it was just a simple thing. We were doing a cross-country race, but it wasn't real far. And we were running around. We were at camp, and we were running around these woods area, all right? And I was running with them, you know? I was like, all right, can you beat me and all of that? And we were just, well, some of the knuckleheads that I had in my team group, they went through the woods, you know? They just cut it in half. And they were waiting on us out there, you know? And, of course, they had cheated and all that. Well, guess what? They're disqualified because they didn't abide by the rules. Folks, can I tell you something? We are disqualified as God's people, meaning this. Not that we lose our salvation, but we lose rewards when we do not strive lawfully. Do you know that the Word of God is our rule book, if you want to put it that way? There are commands that we are to obey. There's a lifestyle that we are to live that is pleasing. Why? Because we are an athlete. And folks, if a man contends for the Olympics, he is not crowned unless he observes the rules. And daily, we must understand that we are to keep our body under subjection, lest we become a castaway. We're to keep our hearts and minds right. We're to guard what we allow into our eye gate, what we allow into our ear gate. We are to be faithful in our daily lives. Why? Because we must have understanding. We're striving for a goal. Expect hardness, but we must daily live a life that is separated and holy before Jesus Christ. Folks, you know something? We must abide by the rules of the Christian life. We must be Christ-like. We must strive in the power of the Holy Spirit and not in the energy of the flesh. Do you know that God has commanded us to walk in the Spirit? You know, I think some Christians think, well, that's just for the preacher and that's just for some really dedicated Christians. No, God has commanded us to walk in the Spirit. And guess what? We're not going to strive. We're not going to reach the goal of bringing glory to Jesus Christ if we are not being an athlete and abiding by the rules. Number three, and the last analogy, is a farmer. The husbandman. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we come, if you would please, to verse number 6. The Bible says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Now, what does that mean? First partaker of the fruits. The husbandman or the farmer's toil comes first. The chores on a farm or in a vineyard are endless, and the farmer's hours are long. The believer is to be like a farmer in that his work is really never done. We never retire on God. We never retire on what He has given us to do. Listen, the principle introduced here is taught throughout Scripture. It is a principle of labor and reward. You know what? The farmer works hard and labors, and he plants the seed, and he takes care of the weeds, and he does all of this because the harvest is coming. The harvest is coming. Look, we're not to harvest time yet around here in Ohio, but it's coming. The harvest is coming, and the farmers will reap the dividends and the blessings of all their labor and all their toil. By the way, if you leave the field to itself, what happens? It becomes weed infested. It becomes hard, soiled. Each Christian, every one of us here tonight, you know something? We have a particular task that God has given to us. You're a farmer. And by the way, a farmer has to be patient, you know? A farmer has to wait. What if a farmer put the seed in the ground and a week later said, there's nothing coming up? I tell you, it's terrible. We'd say, well, wait a minute. You have to wait. It's coming. It's growing. You can't see it. Now, let me say this to you. Your work for the Lord. You may not be able to see what God is doing, but it's under the surface. There is growth. There is labor. There is work there. And soon, by the way, the Bible says your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We are not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Look here, don't stop praying. The answer is coming. Don't stop laboring. The reward is coming. Don't stop being faithful, because God will bring the blessing in His own time. You see, tonight, the Lord wants to give us understanding. Tonight, remember this. Understand this, that our strength is found in Jesus Christ. Don't neglect His presence day by day. And secondly, we are stewards. I'm a steward. You're a steward. But don't hoard what God has blessed you with. You know, I'm sure you've heard of people being hoarders, where they just take everything and they keep it to themselves. And you know what? You look at that and you say, how sad that is. You could have done so much to try to be a blessing to other people. Don't keep it for yourself. But also that we are striving for the goal. Look here, we're soldiers tonight. We're in a warfare. You know what? When I first got saved and came to know the Lord, I learned very soon that the Christian life was kind of hard. I kind of learned soon that, boy, it's not all easy. Well, I'm a soldier. I'm in a warfare day by day. Expect hardness, but also endure hardness day by day. You'll find your strength in Jesus Christ. We are soldiers, but folks, we're athletes. And that means this: we've got to strive and abide by the rules day by day. We are in a race. Now look, you're not racing against one another. Listen, we're in a race. Our goal is Jesus Christ. And we're a farmer. Be patient. Wait. Trust Him. And the blessing will come. The Lord give thee understanding. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You tonight for Your love and mercy to us. And Lord, now I pray that You will take this message and that You will speak to us specifically, whatever it may be. Help us now. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would say tonight, Pastor, the Lord has dealt with me that I am weak, because I am not finding my strength in Christ day by day. And I'm convicted about this. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, Pastor. That's me. Amen. How many would be honest tonight and say, Pastor, the Lord has dealt with me because I am not stewarding the riches that I have in Christ. I'm not giving them out like I should. God has dealt with me. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me. Amen. Amen. And how many tonight would say, Pastor, I've forgotten that I'm striving for that goal, and I'm to endure hardness as a good soldier. I'm to be like the athlete, and I'm to be like the farmer. God has dealt with me. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me. That's me. Amen. Let's stand together. Would you please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'd like to finish this prayer and then let's do business with the Lord. Father, we do thank You tonight that we've been able to come and sit and listen. And I pray this evening that You will help us to be faithful to You. Lord, help us to draw nigh to You, to do Your will and way. Guide us in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals. Go to hymn number 489. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Tonight, if God has dealt with you, just you can leave this songbook there in your seat and come to this altar. But let's spend time with the Lord this evening. Hymn number 489. If the Lord has dealt with you, would you come?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender. Humbly at His feet I fall. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now.
Amen. I want to thank you for your faithfulness throughout this day. The Lord's given us a good day, and I trust that you can be here this coming Wednesday night. Let me encourage you with that. And then next Sunday night, Brother Ross will have preached his first message here for the fall revival. It's going to be a great time. And I know this, I'm looking forward to it for my own sake. And I pray that you'll come. Invite someone to come with you. We'll have those meals Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. And may the Lord help us in a special way. I need to meet with the deacons just quickly. We already had a meeting tonight, but I forgot to talk about something. So deacons, meet me just right up here quickly, and we'll go over something, and that'd be great. Lord bless you. Thank you for being here. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, guide us throughout this week. Help us to be faithful stewards of what you've given to us. Lord, the truth of the gospel, may we steward that faithfully. And Lord, I pray that you'll meet our needs. Lord, would you bless our folks, many of them that are having surgery, and Lord, just strengthen them. But we pray for the renovations, that you'll meet every need there, take care of all the details. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. You are dismissed.